On this episode of Mothman in the Bible Belt, Parkersburg country western phenom Roger Richards dishes on his music and growing up in the system. The musician shares how losing his teen brother to suicide inspired his song, Used to Be. Plus, Richards discusses the possibility of putting out a full-length record in the near future and him being contacted by an American Idol exec. Coming up next...
Welcome to the Mothman in the Bible Belt podcast with your host, Buck Fantastic.
Girl Scout cookies.
This episode of Mothman in the Bible Belt is sponsored by WTSQ 88.1 FM, The Status Quo, serving Charleston and the Kanawha Valley area with independent radio, broadcasting on 88.1 FM and streaming online at WTSQ.org. Roger Richards has been playing music for 15 years. He's released several singles on iTunes and Amazon Music. His live covers of songs by The Judds, Travis Tritt, Luke Combs, and Keith Whitley have garnered thousands of views on Facebook. In our interview, Richard speaks candidly about his life in the scandal-prone West Virginia foster care system. If you're outraged by what you hear, you should contact Governor Jim Justice and your reps in the West Virginia legislature and demand that reforms be made now. If you've been paying attention to the news lately, nothing much has changed for West Virginia foster kids. Join me, your host, Buck Fantastic, for another exciting episode of Mothman of the Bible Belt. It's eclectic chit-chat of otherworldly origins. Welcome to the Mothman of the Bible Belt, Roger. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm good. Roger, you got into music 15 years ago. How'd that happen?
Well, I got my first guitar from my grandmother about 15 years ago when I was a kid. I was going through a rough time in my life. I had just gotten placed into the state's custody where I ended up growing up, bouncing from foster homes and group homes and different situations kind of like that. And that guitar was a big thing that got me through all of that. So I guess I always kind of gravitated towards music as an outlet. And then it kind of just evolved over time. I didn't start kind of pursuing it as a career until about 6.5-7 years ago, after the loss of my little brother who passed away while also in the state's custody. After that, he always wanted me to do some big things with music and everything, and I never quite believed that I could do it. But after he passed away, I figured that I would give it a good try in honor of him.
Was your brother underage when he died?
He was 16. He took his own life.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, now I just like to use his story and use this my own story and the things that I've been through to try to, instead of you, to show people that just because you have been through tough times and hard times in life, that doesn't mean that you have to give up. You can push on and you can make something of yourself.
How would you rate the foster care system in this state personally?
As a whole, I mean, my experience, it was kind of a little bit jumbled up all over the place, kind of. I mean, I've had really bad experiences and I've had good experiences. It wasn't bad all the time, but what I've noticed was that it wasn't very consistent. And there were a lot of kids that were put in places that they never needed to be in to start with. So I've seen kids that was sent to detention centers over things that was done because of their parents, or sent to group homes and stuff like that, mixed in with kids that have had real issues that they didn't need to be around, that they fed off of their energy, and it made the kids' lives a little bit harder, and they was exposed to the wrong influences. I think sometimes the state, they just automatically think the first option is to take a kid and throw him into the system, and they trust that they'll turn out okay on the other side. But I think a lot of kids get lost in the system sometimes, and they don't do their due diligence in every case as they should. I think they have a general standard they go by, and I believe it should be like a case-by-case basis. They should evaluate a kid based off of that kid's personality and his own situation rather than going off a general playbook, if you know what I mean.
But they broke you and your brother up?
Whenever I was a kid, I was separated from all of my siblings. There was I had me, I have 5 brothers and 3 sisters. After 13, I didn't see any of them again until I was an adult. And there's a couple that I won't see again. They were adopted out. But I'm still in contact with several of them now. We reunited after I became an adult. But there's a couple that got adopted out that I haven't seen since they were real small babies.
You hear a lot about West Virginia's foster care system and how they're failing the kids. So,
well, the problem is they put these kids, there's a lot of families out there that are decent families that actually care about the kids and want to see them taking care of them or trying to do the right thing. But then I believe there's also them families out there that are just doing it for the check. It just doesn't seem like, and then like kids we throw in these foster homes where these parents have their own biological kids. And so those foster kids never quite feel like they were loved the same. So you grow up feeling like an outcast, and that can be hard for some kids, especially dealing with rejection and abandonment issues, to feel like they're never going to quite fit in. It's definitely a struggle. And through my time in the system, I was definitely exposed to all kinds of different scenarios from different kids and different backgrounds. And it gets rough. There's some kids that ended up getting it worse after getting taken by the state than they would have been if they'd been left at home and the parents would have had a little bit better help.
Yep. Did your brother's foster parents even try to get him help before he committed suicide?
Well, he never got put in a foster home. He didn't. He was having a lot of troubles at his home with his biological father, and some problems with school, with some bullying and some stuff like that. When he was taken, he was put in a shelter and to await whatever was going to happen with him next. And he didn't, it was about a week later that he took his own life at the shelter.
Oh.
And with that, there was only there wasn't a very long investigation into that. It didn't seem like for the death of a child, you seem to feel like you should have heard a little bit more about it, but there was never nothing covered about it. There was never nothing spoke about it. They kind of just went away. No, like I never got asked any questions. I've never been given any answers. I don't know. I just think in the case where a child dies, there should be a lot more that goes into figuring out why that happened and how you can stop it next time.
There should be an all-out federal investigation.
Yeah. If you're in a position where you're saying we're taking this kid and because it's in their best interest, and then that kid dies in your care, you should be held just as accountable as if a parent that a kid died under their watch.
Yep.
Because you've taken responsibility for that child.
Were you in band in school?
I did some music classes and stuff like that, but I never really joined a band or anything like that. I didn't start going like full force into the music thing until I was an adult. Like I said, after my brother passed away, that kind of spurred me on to try to make something out of it.
Last year you released Used to Be. In it, you sing, "I would have helped him through the battle, hand in hand, we have won the fight. Now my right hand is gone, and I just hope you know you are half the man I am, because without you, I am half the man I used to be." Was this about your brother?
Yeah, that whole song was inspired based off of my experiences after losing him. It was a tough time, and I'm glad you asked that question, because I've had that question asked before about what I meant by "you are half the man I am, and now, and because I'm half the man I used to be." That was kind of a play off of I grew up. I've heard a couple of times. I don't know if you've ever heard the saying, "Well, you won't be half the man that he is." You ever hear that saying before? And it's usually meant as like a insult or a tear down or something like that. Like someone's so much better than you that you'll never be even half what they are. So by me saying you are half the man I am, I take that and I turn that around and say, because without you, I'm half the man I used to be, because with you gone, I'm missing a big chunk of myself. That just shows how important that his life and his presence in my own life was to me. So,
is Burn It All Down about burning bridges?
It's not about burning bridges. It's about learning how to let go of the negative things in your life and moving on so that you can accomplish greater things in your life. It's about knowing when enough is enough. That just means if you are in a negative situation and you've been going through it for a long time and you don't feel like there's no way to get out of it, sometimes the best thing to do is to just walk away and build something new, take what you've learned, and try not to let those same mistakes happen again.
So who inspired Would You Dance With Me?
Would You Dance With Me was kind of just, I just kind of wrote that one out of fun. I mean, there's some... I always throw some subtle hints in those types of songs that reference my wife, like the brunette hair, or I'll throw little pieces of her, I guess, in the songs, like little descriptions of her. But other than that, it was kind of just a fun song I wrote. I wanted to write a little fun upbeat song. That was early in my career when I started that I was writing those songs. I've evolved a lot since then.
Do you write your songs on your own, or is it a collaborative effort with others?
A lot of my music is written on my own. There is some songs where I have some friends that will help me, like, brainstorm or something, or I'll just write based off of the experiences of another person, something that made me feel something. I like to tell stories. I like to tell stories of people in struggle specifically, because I think there's a lot of people out there that go through things and they don't know that they can tell their story, or they feel ashamed to. So I like to tell it for them, because I think some people just need to have their eyes open that there's a lot of people in this world that are struggling and hurting, and maybe they could use a hand and help somebody up instead of kicking them down.
Mm-hmm. Are there any plans for a full-length album?
There, absolutely. I am hoping to get a full-length album out at some point, it'll probably be sometime next year that I'll have a full-length album put out. I'm going to try to get a couple more singles put out. I have some other things in the works right now that I'm waiting to get word on. And then here in a couple weeks, on September 14th, I have a show at the Kanawha Valley Arena in Dougsburg, Virginia. So I'm trying to get that out of the way. I also a couple weeks ago, I was contacted by a talent scout from American Idol who got me an audition with the senior executive producer. And I'm waiting to hear back about that. They said I sounded great, but right now it's just a waiting game to find out how that's going to go. So once I get all these other things off my plate, then I'm going to start focusing a little bit more on getting the album done.
Who are your musical influences growing up?
Well, some of my musical influences was Chris Young was one of them. And I think a lot of people, I've gotten this a lot, they compare my vocals to Chris Young when it comes to the way that I sing. Also, Jason Michael Carroll was another one that I grew up listening to that kind of inspired the way that I sing and the way that he wrote songs. George Strait, naturally, but that was more whenever I was a kid. My grandma and me used to take rides to Tennessee for vacation, and we'd turn on George Strait and listen to George Strait all the way there. So there's a lot of nostalgia in these old artists that made me feel something. So those are the artists that I kind of gravitated towards. The ones that made me feel good.
I saw your cover of Keith Whitley's Don't Close Your Eyes on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. I love Keith Whitley.
Do you do a lot of him in concert? Or?
I haven't actually done a whole lot of Keith Whitley. I've done that song maybe once or twice. I probably should do some of his stuff a little more often, because I really enjoy singing his songs, and people seem to like whenever I do cover one of his songs.
I like his music.
Yeah. I think I do really well singing in that style. I know that that's whenever I feel most in my comfort zone is when I'm singing that way. But I like to try to experiment and try to find new sounds and my own sound. I like that people can hear these influences in my music, but I also want it to be that's Roger's voice. You know what I mean?
Another cover that you put on Facebook that I like, the Judds, Grandpa, Tell Me About the Good Old Days. You ever thought about recording it?
I think I might, because that one actually surprised me. I put it out, just a little video of me singing it. You've seen it. And it got like 60,000 views. And I was like, but I didn't really expect that. But people seemed to really like that cover. So maybe in the future, I'll put out my own version of it. I think that might be cool. Yeah.
That's my favorite, the Judds song. My mom, she loved the Judds and Wynonna. But that song was like big back in the day. And what did you think about Naomi passing away?
Yeah, that's awful. It's always sad when you see stuff like that.
Yeah, there's
been a lot of big artists that's passed away in the last few years that it makes you kind of sad, because they laid the foundation for everything that there is today in music, from like Joe Diffie, Toby Keith. That one kind of was a bombshell for me, because I mean, Toby Keith is a big influence, like just like he's been for everybody. I mean, he's always super patriotic. He showed a lot of courage during his fight through cancer and everything like that. So I always admired that. So, and
he was gonna beat it.
Yeah, like you never knew that he was gonna, like, he didn't show any signs of losing until he was gone. It was crazy. I don't know, but it gives you a second to reflect and appreciate what an artist brought to their genre and the way they changed music over time. Because maybe if there was no Toby Keith, there wouldn't be a lot of these artists we have today, or Naomi or any of these artists that we lost over time, like Merle or George Jones or any of them. They laid the groundwork for everything that we do today.
It surely inspired a lot of modern country acts. Did you get to see Wynonna last year on the Judd's reunion, the Judd's farewell tour?
I did not, actually. I mean, I've got in with the Judd's a little bit, but I'm not as familiar with a lot of their stuff. That really the biggest song that I knew was Grandpa, and I kind of got exposed to that by Dave Fenley's cover of that song. If you haven't heard that, that's a really awesome version of it too. Yeah, I didn't get quite exposed to the Judd's as much as I wish I should have after hearing those songs.
How would you describe Parkersburg's music scene to people who live in Charleston or live in Huntington or Morgantown?
There's a lot of talent here. I've noticed that all the time. There's a lot of guys that just like that are really good at just jamming out. They can play all these like these classic covers. Then you also have a lot of guys around here that are really good original artists, like and I'm just talking about the Mid-Ohio Valley in general, just around this area, not just Parkersburg. People like, I don't know if you've heard of him or not, but like Moon King, that kid, if you look him up, he's got an incredible voice and he does all kinds of charity work around here. And then you got Matt Van Fossen, he's another one that's about to make a big name for himself, that's really good at what he does. And there's just a lot of talent around here. And I think that if we could find a way to put that on a bigger stage and people would notice it, they would see it and people would see that and they would gravitate towards that. But yeah, this is a big music city, big music town. Every weekend, it wouldn't be hard to find somebody playing some music somewhere.
Are you a full-time musician or is it a part-time gig?
That's the goal. I work full-time at, I build trucks for Hino, but I also am always working on my music. Any chance I get, I'm trying to find ways to network, get interviews, just get out there so I can meet people, make connections. Because in my eyes, that's more valuable than anything, is making those connections and relationships with people. Keep people talking about you. Maybe they'll pass you on to the next guy. So I would say that it's full-time. Like, it's a full-time job just keeping up with all of that. From the time I wake up, time I go to bed, I'm trying to find figure out a way to get myself to that next stage, that next step.
With today's country being so pop, is it difficult to pick apart a genuine country western music act from something that's not?
There definitely is we went through a weird phase with all this pop country stuff. I think it was just people thought there was more money to be made in pop music, so country and everybody else was trying to copy it in their own way. But I have noticed that lately there seems to be some younger artists coming out mainstream these days that are kind of have that old 90s feel to them again. Like country music is starting to get its sound back. Like that Zach Top kid, like that dude is ridiculously good. Then you got Braxton Keith. He's another one that's pretty good, that has a good traditional country sound. Cody Jenks, Luke Combs, he seems to have kind of stuck to his roots for the most part. But as far as acts like Morgan Wallen and stuff like that, I mean, you respect what they've done because they're like the biggest artists in the world. But at the same time, there's 100% like a pop aspect to what they're doing. It's definitely, it's like hip hop country type stuff. And for me, that doesn't really quite do it for me as much. I do like the traditional sound. I like the 90s sound a lot from country music in the 80s. But you got to respect them. I mean, I'm sure they grinded to get where they are as well, you know.
When I say Florida Georgia Line, what do you think?
I think they had their time.
Kacey Musgraves.
She's a female artist, right? Mm-hmm. I think I've listened to a couple songs of hers. I'll be honest with you, for a long time, I wasn't really listening to mainstream artists as much. I kind of like listening to independent artists because I feel like you really start to get to hear actual stories that way. Like the stuff in Nashville with the mainstream people, they're basically writing all about the same things over and over to a different track. I don't know. I like originality when it comes to songwriting. Like Oliver Anthony, when he blew up, I thought that was pretty awesome because like he definitely has a very unique style of writing that I seem to gravitate to. I like a good songwriter more than anything.
What's your thoughts on Maren Morris? Is she country?
I don't really have thoughts on her. I don't know her well enough to pass judgment one way or the other.
I don't know. I listen to some of her music and I'm like, this is country? I mean, to me, it's just super Sounds pop. It's like mainstream pop. I mean, in my opinion.
A lot of the, I'm kind of in the dark on a lot of that, because like I said, I kind of stopped listening to a lot of that mainstream stuff a couple years ago. I'm kind of getting back into it now that you got some of these new artists coming out that kind of have that traditional sound to them. But it's more that I follow those specific artists, not like the whole mainstream, like roster.
Who out of today's country music acts is the least country?
The least country
sounding.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, that's a tough question. There's a lot of them out there that are kind of, they use their accents pretty good, but let's see. Least sounding country artist. Probably people like Kane Brown and stuff, because a lot of their stuff, especially when he started working with like Marshmello and stuff like that, it was really, really just pop. Morgan Wallen, like, it depends though on the song. Sometimes he sounds, it sounds like a really good country song. The other times it's straight up a pop song. Like the song you did with Thinking About Me, it was off his new album. That one's straight up a pop song. You can't convince me otherwise. I think it's a pop song with country lyrics.
What music is on your Spotify playlist?
I like Cameron Marlowe a lot. I listen to him. I listen to Zach Top, George Strait. I listen to Ryan Upchurch a good bit. I like him. I like to listen to independent artists like from Appalachia. So I listen to Oliver Anthony and stuff like that. Just about anything that I got all kinds of stuff that I listen to. It's not just boiled down to one genre. I like all kinds of different music. One minute you could be here listening to Merle Haggard, and the next you'd be listening to Eminem.
Okay, now for five questions. Toby Keith or Eddie Rabbit?
Toby Keith.
Cowboy hats or beanies?
Cowboy hats.
Better actor, Elvis or Madonna?
I'm about to go with Elvis because I'm just a big Elvis fan.
Myrtle Beach or Disney World?
I've never been to Disney World, so I guess Myrtle Beach is it for me.
Willer Walker Jr. or Ray Stevens?
I'm going to go probably Ray Stevens, because Willer Walker Jr., he's like a specific taste. Like, and that, he's not really kind of like a guy you just kind of like drive around just listening to like vibe to, you know what I mean?
You'd probably get arrested listening to his music out.
Yeah. I saw a video the other day. He was like making a video, I guess, talking crap to Post Malone for doing his country music stuff. So I guess he like said the Post tried to send him a request for him to be on a song with him, and he was telling him how bad he sucked and everything. He's like, man, you're literally put on as a joke. People put you on when they get really drunk and want to say stupid stuff all the time.
I want to thank my special guest, Roger Richards, for sharing his life journey with Mothman and the Bible Belt listeners. Roger Richards' music is available to purchase on iTunes and Amazon Music and stream on Spotify and YouTube. You can follow him on Facebook and Instagram. For Mothman and the Bible Belt podcast outlet updates, guest bios, episode breakdowns, and links to social media, check us out on the web at www.mothmanandthebiblebelt.com. Thanks for listening.